You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Never a dull moment in the world of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are probably going to win this division, it looks like. Things are going very well for them, but they also have some controversy surrounding them, too. So let's talk to Barry Bloom about that. I'm Allison Footer. Barry, I just wanted to get your thoughts as a veteran reporter who's been around this game for many, many, many years. Of course, everyone has an opinion on Dave Roberts pulling Rich Hill from a perfect game after seven innings to protect the chance of the blister becoming an issue again for him. So when all this was going down, what was your initial feeling on it? And did that change after sort of listening to all the reasoning around it?
I've seen it both ways. I mean, in the 90s, David Cone had a perfect game, and he had just returned from an aneurysm. And, Joe Torre I think he pulled him out maybe after six innings. But on the other hand, a few years ago in San Diego, Tim Lincecum had a no-hitter going, and Bochy left him in for 150 pitches. And who knows whether that accelerated, what happened to Lincecum edging towards the end of his career. I mean, all of this is fine fodder, to discuss. But I think when you're in the middle of these things, it's the one thing that I've found is that as much as a veteran reporter I might be, I just don't have access to all the information that Dave Roberts has and why he had to make that decision and what kind of pressure he had from his higher-ups to limit Hill. And I think he later said that this was what was prescribed and he wasn't going past seven innings anyway. So, I mean, it's a tough decision either way. You've got a guy who had just come off the disabled list. They need him direly for the postseason if they're going to make a run. And then you have to think of the team and the future over the individual. So I really don't have any problems with the decision that Dave had to make.
Yeah, I always defer to the people who know way more about what's actually going on than I do, that being the front office and Dave Roberts himself. My first thought was there's no way that this is actually that Dave Roberts is making this as an autonomous decision maker. We know how the Dodgers operate, and I had a feeling that this was not just his decision alone. I didn't have any issues with it at all, especially when it comes from Dave Roberts, who's such a likable guy and, obviously knows what he's doing.
There's just some organizations now that work like that. I mean, I think Terry Collins, if you were in a similar situation, with his club, they all work in concert with each other with the front office now, and it's not unusual that managers don't have autonomous decisions about these things, that these things are discussed and discussed at length before you even go into a game.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to Yasiel Puig, who I always swear every week when I do these with Ken Gernick that I'm not going to talk about him. And then he ends up being being part of the conversation. So he gets a pinch hit home run in New York. He's contributing. I know that the decision to bring him back up was one that wasn't so easy. They had to weigh a lot of things. But I don't know. Do you think he's been humbled at all by everything that's happened to him this season?
Well, I hope he is. The guy has enormous talent. I don't think there's just any question about that. And it's raw talent. It was evident from the moment he joined the Dodgers in that June a few years ago and had that mammoth June. Then the league started figuring him out. He's very temperamental. Yada, yada, yada. We can go through the whole thing. But as kids mature, and remember, this is a guy who didn't play for the national team in Cuba, didn't play at a high level there. And when he went, after a very short period of time in the minor leagues to the major leagues, he really wasn't equipped technically to play the game. So over the course of time, I'm sure he's learned, and it's a hard knocks thing. And the question is, does this make you stronger? Does it shatter you? And maybe in Puig's case, everything that's gone on this year will make him stronger. mean, really, the Dodgers should have done this a long time ago. You know, they let this thing get out of hand. I'd blame it totally on, you know, the fact that, you know, they really didn't control the guy, and they used him as a marketing tool for the first year he was there into the second year. And he really didn't give – they didn't give him the help he needed and support he needed, even in the clubhouse, to really adjust to the major leagues. I mean, if you think about it, and you see it to a certain extent with Tomas in Arizona, who started to come around in the second half of the season, you know, Cespedes, who's pretty temperamental too. When you come to the U.S. from a place like Cuba, you don't speak the language. You live in a repressed society. You never made any money. In a lot of cases, your family is left down there. You know, the stuff with Puig and how he was hustled out of the country and threatened, that's been well documented. So when you add all this together, it would be unusual for him to have made a great adjustment to baseball with all the things that were going against him. But the bottom line is, he still is young. He still has an enormous amount of talent. And if they can reach him temperamentally, they might be able to harness him to do the work he needs to do on a day-to-day basis and you know, be a productive player for them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I always said there's we can't compare how we would be at 25 with somebody who, like you just spelled out, like everything that he had to go through to just get here and all the pressures and the money that's being thrown at him and then not, you know, not even speaking English when he got here. I mean, there's so many things that you do give him a little leeway. It seemed like he had a lot of time also to kind of make those adjustments and sort of listen to advice. But it takes – you really need a couple special people in the front office who are solely responsible for that to see beyond – you know, it's such an impersonal, it can be such an impersonal industry that we're in, and an impersonal game, even when you're around your teammates every day. But people, you know, have different ways of dealing with things, and you really need somebody to be able to kind of see beyond that, and stick with them and help them out. And maybe that wasn't, maybe they just didn't have that.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at just a comparison of, you know, how teams handle their Hispanic players as opposed to the Japanese players. Guys have, you know, long-term translators and a support system from Japan that they come over with and are with them every day. And in the case of Alan Turner and Ichiro, Alan Turner has a locker, a uniform. He goes out and shaves light bulbs and works out with Ichiro. I mean, that's a support system. You know, the same thing with the young man who does it with Tanaka in New York. This is the first year where MLB stepped forward and they said, we're going to appropriate $50,000 a team so that they can have a translator and a support system for the Hispanic players in the clubhouse. It's something that's been long needed. There was never that support system for Puig in the clubhouse. There were times where, you know, I went to talk to him, and he was always very cordial and very nice to me, but I needed somebody to pull somebody from the organization who could speak Spanish and translate for him because they didn't have a regular translator. Now they do, so I think the whole support system, the superstructure for this is really building within the whole sport, not just the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have a guy there every day whose job it is to work with Hispanic people who can't communicate.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. Okay, so in our last couple of minutes here, I just want to looking ahead to the last couple of weeks of the season. I mean, it seems to be kind of a favorable schedule for the Dodgers, only because they are in first place and they have a couple of easier teams. They also play the Giants, I think, six games. So this still isn't over yet. But what do you, when you look and you see they've got the Diamondbacks, the Giants, the Rockies, the Padres, looking pretty good for them.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, I think the Giants with their bullpen problems and offensive problems, you know, really squandered a gigantic advantage and really let the Dodgers off the hook at this point. And I look at what's happened with the Dodgers in their rotation that, you know, in the they had De Leon pitch last night. You've got Urrea today. The young guys have stepped up. It's much like the Mets with their injuries. They've had DeSelman and Lugo step up in the last few weeks as they've made a run back to the postseason and to the wild card. And that's the kind of thing you need. I mean, somebody has to step up and take the place of the people who are injured. It's a gigantic opportunity, and they've got kids right now who are doing it. And with Kershaw coming back, you know, hopefully for them, he'll round into shape as the season winds down. He's got a while to go. You know, Hill, with the limitations he's pitching with, you know, Maeda's been the bulwark of the, you know, the rotation. He's the only guy who started the season in the rotation and didn't go out all season, considering that he came with a tender elbow. So, I mean, I think they've done well. I think Davey's done a terrific job. And I vote manager of the year this year. And, you know, right now, Davey's got my vote. You know, they've got one thing that the Giants don't have. They've got, you know, Henley. They've got Jansen at the end of it. And the Giants just don't. I'm amazed that they went this far with a bullpen problem that they have. And as you said, you know, there's six more, three at Dodger Stadium, three to end the season in San Francisco. And in the mix, the Giants have St. Louis at home for four games this weekend, and they could actually lock up a wild card spot if they play well against St. Louis, but there's no guarantee in that. I mean, they lost 4-0 to the Padres at home last night after mopping up on the Diamondbacks this weekend. So I think it all comes down to an interesting 3 weeks. And then, you know, the Dodgers are going to have to get themselves with a rotation in order for the postseason. And that might be pretty problematic for them.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story always. So, Barry, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about all this. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you soon.
Anytime.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.